Peace be unto you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You may be seated. Do you ever feel like you're not ready for what's coming next? This time of year, I think everybody that I meet is just a little bit frazzled. You still have to shop for so-and-so. You still have to get to this Christmas gathering or that. You still have to, well, the list goes on. And chances are, you're forgetting that one thing that will come up at the last moment. Or perhaps the students among us are feeling unprepared for different reasons. How many of you wish you would have started studying for that one exam or exams about a month ago? I'm guessing everybody. And how many of you had that final paper or project that's been on the syllabus all semester long, but you're just now getting to it? I guess what I'm asking is, do you ever feel unprepared? Unprepared for the next phase in your life. Unprepared for the next major project. Unprepared for, well, you know what you're unprepared for. In Advent, it's about getting prepared. It's about getting prepared for the most important thing that will ever happen to any of us. It's about getting prepared to meet Jesus. To meet the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who each of us will have to meet on our own ground. This is a major thing because on the last day, Jesus will be separating those who are prepared to meet him from those who are not. He will be judging the living and the dead on the day that he returns. Is this something that you feel prepared for? How do you even get prepared to meet Jesus? During the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill will be made low. And the crooked, it shall become straight. And the rough places, they will become level ways. And all the flesh shall see the salvation of God. John the Baptist was to prepare the people to meet the one that would later be called, that he would later call the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was to prepare them to meet who Isaiah called the salvation of God. He was to prepare them to see the salvation of God face to face in their own flesh. He was preparing the people to meet Jesus in the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You see, Jesus was coming to save people. He's coming to save them. But in order to be saved, they needed to be prepared. You might think, well, how in the world does someone prepare to be saved? Let's look at how John prepared the people to receive the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John said, therefore, to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers. Now, I think that's not a great way to welcome a visitor. What if Joe and Rachel were at the door today You brood of vipers, welcome. There are donuts off to the side. But John said, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able to raise up children from Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit in keeping with repentance is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what shall we do? The first thing that John did to prepare the people, it does not seem very politically correct. The first thing that he does is he calls them children of serpents. A brood of vipers, that's children of serpents, right? I guess you don't call them children, but he's calling them really children of Satan. He's calling them objects of God's wrath. Now that sounds harsh, but St. Paul lets us know that we are all enemies of God. And we are objects of his wrath as well. God's righteous judgment, his law, it condemns us all. Each and every one in this room, each and every one not in this room. We're all guilty. It doesn't matter what church we go to. It doesn't matter whose blood flows through our veins. We are all sinners. And we deserve nothing but punishment. Each and every person since Adam and Eve deserves to be separated from God for eternity in hell. Jesus talked about hell a lot. John does as well. And he makes it very clear. And this obviously, it scares the people. And they cried out, what shall we do? And John answered them in a way that points them back to the Ten Commandments, which no one has ever kept, and in which these guys won't be able to keep either. But he said to them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. In other words, he was saying, you should be fearing and loving God so that you do not hurt or harm your neighbor in his body, but rather, you should be helping your neighbor and supporting him in every physical need. And to the tax collectors, he said, collect no more taxes than you are authorized to do. And to the soldiers, he said, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusations, and be content with your wages. In other words, he was saying, we should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but we should help him to improve and protect his possessions and income. And we should not scheme to get our neighbor's inheritance or house in a way that only appears right, but we should help and be of service to him in keeping it. In other words, what John was doing was he was pointing them to their place in life, and he was putting it up and against the Ten Commandments. And he was revealing to them their sin. When he says, take no more than you're supposed to, in other words, he was saying, look, you've been taking more than you were supposed to. When he says, don't make threats, he says, you've been being a bully. And this is so much more than a bully, because a soldier was threatening the very lives of the people. Anyone that was proud, John brought low with the law of God. And anyone who was low, he brought up to a level plane with the forgiveness of sins. Now I want you to notice something. We started out this sermon asking, Do you ever feel unprepared? Do you feel prepared to meet Jesus? But did you notice something about our text? It was God's word. It was God's word. Both his law and his gospel, spoken by his servant John, that made all the preparations. It gives me goosebumps. In every area of your life, it's all up to you. In every area of your life, it's up to you. If you don't study for that exam, you will not be prepared. If you don't do the research, you will not be prepared to write the paper. If you don't do the shopping, you will not be prepared for Christmas morning. If you don't set aside money now, you will not be prepared for retirement. If you don't do it, it doesn't get done. But here, the people were completely caught off guard. The sin of God's people had once again led them into exile, and by no means were they ready to meet their salvation. Instead of owning up to their sin, they were proud of their bloodline. We are children of Abraham. This is something that John cuts right to the heart of. The people were totally unprepared. But God sent forth his word, spoken by John, to prepare the way of the Lord. He sent John to bring the word that would prepare people to meet the salvation of the Lord. God's word does it all. Luther said so himself too. They were like, how does it feel? He's like, if it wasn't for God's word, I would have ruined it all. God's word did it all. God's word convicts you of your sin, and God's word washes you in the blood of the Lamb. God's word lets you know that you are starving, and God's word delivers the bread of life in, with, and under the bread and the wine. God's word brings you to the realization that you are a sinner who deserves punishment. And then God's word made flesh says, I forgive you all of your sins. God's word took your sin to the cross. God's word laid in the grave 3 days. God's word made flesh rose from the grave, bearing the marks of his love for you. God's word does it all. St. Paul puts it this way in our epistle reading to the beloved church in Philippi. He says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, began the good work of faith in that church, and he will bring it to completion. We need only this, to submit to his work. St. Paul puts it in Luke chapter 7, we see that not all people submitted to God's work of preparation through John. For the word says this, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by him. God's will is to save you. They rejected God's will for their lives by not submitting to baptism. That baptism of repentance for the purpose of it was the forgiveness of sins. They did not receive that. They tried to say that they were fine just the way they were. They tried to say that their sin wasn't sin. They tried to say that they were holy because deep down inside, you know what? They were good people. They were better Like they prayed, like the one Pharisee prayed, "Dear Lord in heaven, thank God I'm not like these tax collectors, like these sinners." Well, God's word showed them otherwise. But they just got angry and they walked away. And later, as God's word continued to confront them in the person of Jesus, they rose up against God's word with hammer and nail through the actions of the Roman soldiers. They rose up against and killed that word who was made flesh for us as a baby on Christmas morning. I pray that we do not reject God's purpose for our lives. I pray that we continually submit to His work in our lives through law and through gospel. The work that shows us where we need a Savior each and every day. I pray that we do not run away from God's work of preparation, but rather allow Him to take off our dirty garments and to replace them with, as it says in Galatians 3, to put on Christ as we first did in our baptism. I was originally thinking of taking my children anywhere. We have to get them prepared to meet other people, right? We do all the work, getting ready to go somewhere. What should take 5 minutes takes 20 minutes. But then I thought, even more so, it's like a baby. A baby who soils their clothes. If this isn't taken care of, it harms the baby. But a parent comes in, washes them clean, washes them up, puts them in new garments, and holds them close to themselves. I've never changed a baby, without afterwards picking them up and holding them close to me. I love my children. And if me, a sinner, can love my children, how much more does my Heavenly Father, who is perfect, love me? How much more does He love you? He's constantly preparing you, each and every day. If a baby goes one day without a change, they get a rash, they get hurt. And so we, without going one day without being washed in the blood of the Lamb, we get hurt as well. If you continually submit to God's word, recognizing your sin and seeing the salvation, His salvation, you know what? The day of the Lord, it is going to be a great joy for you. You may not think that you are ready, but the Holy Spirit will reveal to you that by His word and sacrament, He's been preparing you for this moment all your life. It's just like getting to a final exam and being pleasantly surprised. Hey, you know the preparation I put in? I didn't think I was ready, but I was. If you continually abide in His word, He will be preparing you. And thanks be to God that that final day will not be like finals day. But it will be more like your baptismal day, where God made you His own. What a day of rejoicing that will be. And now may the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until He returns for you. Amen.